Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Apostle John gave us a long word in his first epistle about loving the brothers. But right in the middle of his fellowship about love, he inserts 6 verses in chapter 4 that start out, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God." This is Matt Miller with Bob Danker, and we have an enlightening program today that makes the connection between loving the brothers and proving the spirits. Bob, thanks for joining me today.
It's always a pleasure, Matt.
You know, Bob, I think many readers of the Bible just take for granted the placement of verses, and they don't really consider the Spirit's leading of the Apostle John as he wrote these things. I mean, there's a thought in John that's being led by the Spirit to come up with this placement. I know, for example, myself, I just took it for granted. Until today, I didn't really see the connection that we're going to see in this program.
Yes, Matt, throughout this epistle, John has emphasized this matter of the eternal life and the fellowship of this eternal life. And if we live in this fellowship, then we will love the brothers. We will practice righteousness. We will not live a lawless life. But actually, until chapter 3, verse 24, John has not directly mentioned the Spirit in his epistle. But eventually, the very last verse of chapter 3, he says, "And in this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he gave to us." So here, John mentions the Spirit explicitly for the first time, although the Spirit is implied in the anointing, which John mentions in chapter 2, but is not mentioned explicitly until the end of chapter 3. And actually, if we consider the fact that the Spirit is really the crucial and vital factor of all the mysteries, the mysterious things that John speaks about in this book. Without the Spirit, we could not receive the eternal life, and we could not participate in the fellowship of the eternal life. So the Spirit is a crucial factor in our experience of the divine life and the fellowship of that life, and our living by that life to express God in a life of righteousness and loving the brothers and so forth. So when John mentions the Spirit of God for the first time in the book, then he turns immediately in the first part of chapter 4, as you pointed out, to warn the believers that there's not only one Spirit in this universe, that is the Spirit of God, there are other spirits as well. And we, as the believers, in order to avoid being cheated and defrauded from the enjoyment of the eternal life as our portion in Christ, we have to be careful and we have to learn to discern these different spirits.
Boy, Bob, I think there's a lot of light in this program, and I really hope our listeners will stay with us. I know it was helpful for me. I'm going to take a little bit longer time today to read these verses. It's chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. In this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak out of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. Here's Witness Lee for 1 John Life Study Message number 30 that covers chapter 4, verses 1 through 6.
These few verses stand as a particular section. Seemingly, this section has nothing to do with the section preceding or with the section following. In the preceding section, what is covered is just the loving of the brothers. Then, in the following section, it comes back again to the same topic, how to love the brothers. And in all these six verses, you couldn't see any sign or any hint that is related to the loving of the brothers. Yet, listen, why this section is here? I do believe it is here because of two reasons. Number one, at the end of chapter 3, you have, by the Spirit whom he gave to us. Here, in 3:24, it is the first time that in this book, the Spirit is clearly mentioned. Because the Spirit is mentioned, so following these, the writer goes on to the discernment or to the proving of the Spirit. Don't think that there's only one unique Spirit. In the entire universe, there are different spirits. So when we come up to the point of the Spirit, we must be warned to be on the alert how to check out the Spirit, how to prove, how to test the Spirit. This is one reason. And another reason is that, yes, we should love the brothers, but we should not love the false prophets. We should not love the Antichrist. In other words, we may love them, but we should not take them. You see, we should love everyone. Even our enemies, we should love. But we just cannot take false prophets, and we just cannot take Antichrist. You must keep yourself away from this category of people, the false prophets and the Antichrist.
Bob, let's stop right here and get into these two reasons why the Apostle John inserted six verses on proving the spirits. There are other spirits out there besides the Holy Spirit, and even though we love everyone, we cannot take the false prophets, can we?
We cannot receive them, and this is a very important point in John's epistles. Even in the second epistle of John, he speaks again about these false prophets who speak heresies regarding the person of Christ. And John says we should not receive these people into our homes, and we should not even greet them. We should not say to them, rejoice, or give them a positive greeting. We should not have anything to do with these people because what they are speaking is heretical concerning Christ's person, and it's like a disease that can be communicated to us if we would receive them and their teachings. So John here is very concerned about the believers. In his epistle, John, who was speaking by the Spirit of God, told the believers that Christ, who is the eternal life, who is the Word, who was in the very beginning, this Christ, who is God himself, became a man. And the apostles heard him, they saw him with their eyes, they handled him with their hands. In other words, Christ, as the eternal Word of God, who is God himself, the very unique God in this universe, became a man, and he took on humanity and was even touchable. And then John said, it's this one that we announce to you. We report to you what we've seen and heard. And those who receive the report of the true apostles, the real prophets who speak by the Spirit of God, who speak truth by God's Spirit, they receive the divine life, and they enter into all the enjoyment of the riches of this divine life. It all depends on their receiving the apostles' report concerning Christ as the God-man, the one who is the complete God and the perfect man. But there are others out there whom John says are false prophets. They speak not by God's Spirit, but by another spirit, the spirit of deception, who really is Satan himself. So these false prophets are motivated by the spirit of deception, which is Satan, to speak lies and heresies concerning Christ's person, so that he would lead men away from Christ, from the enjoyment of the divine life. If we receive these persons, these heretical teachers, then we will receive their heretical teachings, and we will be cheated and robbed from the real enjoyment of the divine life. And John is very concerned for all the believers that they would, in a sense, be inoculated. They would be warned and be on the alert that there are people who are going about spreading heretical teachings concerning the person of Christ.
Well, John gave this word to inoculate the early believers, and not just them, but us today, and we're repeating that warning. We need to know Christ as the complete God and the perfect man. Let's go back to Witness Lee as we continue with this matter.
In the early years of my ministry, that was in China, just about 50 years ago, the modernistic movement went to China, and mostly got on the campuses of the universities. A number of the people in the educational circle got influenced. They took this modernism that said Christ is not God, Christ was an illegal son born of Mary with Joseph, and he died on the cross, not for redemption, but just a kind of martyrdom, suffering persecution, and he was a great philosopher. He had the high standard of human living, and that was due to the so-called German high critics. They don't believe in the Bible, they don't believe in the miracles, they explain, interpret all the miracles in the Old Testament and New Testament to nothing, you see. But it became quite prevailing around 1930. Then we stood up against that. In our ministry, we had a strong part to inoculate the saints against the modernism. Well, some friends did say to us, shouldn't we love each other? Shouldn't we love them? Shouldn't we love them? Or shouldn't we take them? Huh. But we practiced John's word in the second book. John, the same writer, in his second epistle, tells us this kind of modernistic antichrist, you shouldn't take them. Even you shouldn't greet them. You see? Why? To love is one thing. To take these evil ones is another thing. So here, while he's talking about loving brothers, he has to take care of this one thing among the so-called Christians. Among the nominal Christians, a number of them are antichrists.
Well, Bob, that's a pretty strong word, that a number of the nominal Christians are antichrist. We're going to spend our entire next program on the principle of antichrist, and I think that that will be an eye-opener for many of our listeners. Just like this word we just heard, it may be an eye-opener that many of the nominal Christians are antichrist.
Yes, Matt. A nominal Christian is a person who claims to be a Christian, but who does not believe that Jesus, the man born of the Virgin Mary, is actually God himself who became a man through incarnation. They don't believe. They don't hold the orthodox and proper teaching concerning Christ. They believe something else about Christ, either that he wasn't really God, not the unique God who created the universe. He wasn't that God. Maybe he's some other kind of God, but he's not the unique God. Or he is not Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is the very God of the Old Testament who was incarnated to be a man. We shouldn't believe anything else about Jesus. There are people, even today, who claim to be Christian, but they are not real believers in Christ. They don't believe. They don't hold the orthodox faith in Christ. And yet they go around talking about their improper belief concerning Christ. They spread their heretical teachings. They may even come to your door. John spoke about this in the second epistle. He said, don't receive these persons into your home. Don't let them into your home. And don't even greet them with a positive greeting. Because John said in the second epistle, if we do this, if we receive them or we greet them, he says, we share in their evil works. John was so strong in telling us we should separate ourselves from such persons and not allow them and their heretical teachings to come into our home, into our mind, into our being. We should reject them absolutely. And we should hold to the proper teaching that Jesus Christ is the very God himself who became a man in the flesh and who died on the cross to accomplish redemption. You know, Witness Lee mentioned the modernists. They didn't believe that Jesus' death was for redemption. They thought he was just a martyr being put on the cross by people who hated him, and he suffered a martyr's death. But actually, the Bible teaches that Christ, in his death, was our Redeemer. He was accomplishing a great redemption for us and for all things, so that we, by believing in him, could receive the eternal life. We could receive him, the very Christ who was crucified and was resurrected. We receive this one as the eternal life. This all depends on our holding to the proper and orthodox teaching concerning the person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he only a man, or is he only God and not a man? Is he a man and not God, or is he God and not a man? No, he's both. He's God and man mingled together as one person. This is a great truth. And it's a great heresy to teach anything else.
You called this earlier, Bob, an inoculation. And I thought, as you were speaking, it's like, why would we be surprised today when someone comes to our door with another message? We were warned it's going to happen.
Exactly.
And even in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, he said, even now many antichrists have come. This is in 90-95 AD at the end of the first century. And already they were waiting for antichrist to come, thinking it's an individual. But John says, many antichrists have come. So it's not just that one man of sin will come. It's not just that there will be the antichrist, but there are many antichrists already. Well, there's a lot here, Bob. We better go on to the conclusion of today's life study.
Concerning the matter of this title, Antichrist, or Antichrist, Matthew 24, verse 5 says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. No doubt, this is a pretending Christ, a false one. Then, in 1 John, three verses mention this title, Antichrist singular or Antichrist plural. Verse 18 in chapter 2 and verse 22 in chapter 2. Then, verse 3 in chapter 4. Then you have verse 7 in his second epistle. Verse 18. Young children, it is the last hour, and even as you heard that Antichrist is coming. who is Antichrist. It doesn't say that the Antichrist. Then it says what? Even now, many Antichrists have come. Due to the traditional teaching, too many Christians have this impression that Antichrist is a proper noun, referring to the man of sin. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but by reading all these four verses, you could realize this is a general title, not like Christ is a unique, proper title. In the whole universe, there's only one Christ, right? No other Christ. All the others are either false Christ or Antichrist. But Antichrist, such a title, should not be a proper noun. So to say definitely that Antichrist is that Antichrist is wrong. But that son of perdition, man of sin, should be considered as an Antichrist. Could you follow me?
Bob, I want to read the verse about the man of sin that Witness Lee just referred to in 2 Thessalonians, and then I'll let you make the final comments. It's in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you in any way, because it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or an object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth, saying that he is God. Bob, your final comments.
Of course, Matt, in the verses that you read, they speak about the man of lawlessness. And most Christians would say this is the Antichrist, referring to an individual person who is expected to come, according to Paul's description here. We call him the Antichrist, although in the scriptures he's not called the Antichrist. But John here in his epistles, 1st and 2nd John, mentions Antichrists, many Antichrists. So he's not speaking about this one unique individual person. John is speaking about those many false prophets who claim to be speaking for God, but are actually motivated by Satan, the spirit of error. You know, the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, motivates all the genuine believers in Christ to preach the gospel and speak the truth concerning the person of Christ. And whenever we hear this kind of speaking, we should receive it because it comes from the Spirit of God. But then there's another spirit in the universe, which is Satan himself. This spirit is the spirit of deception. He's a deceiver, a deceiving spirit, and he motivates others who are not genuine believers in Christ, but who present themselves as Christians in name, to go about to spread the heresies concerning the person of Christ, to lead people astray, and to infect them with a kind of a infectious disease, which is their heresies that they are spreading. If these kind of people, we should definitely not receive. We should not listen to them. We should not invite them into our homes. We should not greet them and tell them, have a nice day. We should not in any way participate in their evil work of spreading the heretical teaching concerning Christ. Rather, we should proclaim the truth, the real gospel, that Jesus Christ is God who became a man and who died on the cross to accomplish our redemption, so that we, by believing in him, might have the eternal life of God. This is the truth.
I really appreciate you coming and being with me for this program today.
I'm very happy I could be with you, Matt.
On behalf of Bob Danker, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.